Turning your Bibles to the book of Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, we'll look at the second chapter. Song of Solomon. I'll read at verse number 14, then if you'll join me in verse 15 of Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. Stand with me, please. And beginning at verse number 14. O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes and the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're coming to you tonight, Lord, and there are those who are tired from a long day of serving you, and Lord, those that have been traveling for a while, Lord, maybe those who have to travel a long distance after the service. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we please put that aside for a little bit. Lord, we ask that you please revive us with your spirit, with your word. You'd help us to listen, be with our preacher as he preaches. Bless now the special music. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Carried Master with compassion flowing from his eyes. He said to the thief who was begging him for mercy, today you'll live in paradise. I'm saved, like the criminal on the cross. Praise God, I'm saved, no more to suffer loss. Well, he said, I will live in paradise, and he's taking care of the cross. I'm saved, like the criminal on the cross. Well, on the judgment day, when all the people gather round him and they wait to see what he will declare, there will never ever be a more intense anticipation that has ever happened anywhere. And when they call my name to defend my reputation, there is only one thing I can say. I'm a wretch, I'm a worm, I'm a no good sinner, but he said I'll save you anyway.
I'm saved,
like a criminal on the cross. Praise God, I'm saved, no more to suffer loss. Well, he said I would live in paradise, and he's taking care of the cost.
I'm saved.
Nothing up here, and I don't know, is this thing on? There we go, we're getting there. I'm ready to throw this sound system through the wall, I think, amen. But anyway, we better not do it yet, so I'm not hearing anything up here tonight, but that may be just, that may be shot. But anyway, as long as you can hear, all right, okay, so let's go. Turn to Song of Solomon chapter 2, and I want to speak tonight on this subject, lions, tigers, and bears. Oh no. You thought I was going to say, oh my, didn't you? You're watching too much Wizard of Oz. That's what it is. But I want to speak tonight on lions, tigers, and bears. Oh no. Okay. So, Brother Greg, can y'all hear me? Seriously? Yeah, really? Because I hear absolutely nothing up here. So, I'm getting old. Okay, good. There's nothing up here. All right, good. So, very good. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful tonight. Pray that you'd please bless the message now. We've heard a lot of good music, and it's been good to be in your house. Good to have some friends visiting from other places here. But Lord, we need to settle in now, and I pray that you'll help me. When the sound is not right, it disturbs me, and I don't want to be disturbed in my spirit tonight. Settle in, Holy Ghost, on us. May we focus on the Scripture. May you direct our attention to the Word of God tonight. May it help us, because that's what we need. In Jesus' name I pray. And amen. There have been a few love stories written over the years that are labeled as classics, probably the most familiar one being that of Romeo and Juliet, and I'm sure there are others that don't interest us men greatly, to be honest with you. We'd rather read stories about hunting and shooting and all that stuff. But anyway, there is no love story written that can rival the one that God wrote about in His Holy Bible. And He used the wisest man who ever lived. He used Solomon to pen this great story. The Song of Solomon is a picture that pictures, is a story that pictures Jesus' love for His church. It's a story that pictures a bridegroom's love for his bride and her love for him. And in this message tonight, I will capitalize on the picture of Jesus' relationship with us and ours with Him, which this story is what that's really all about. Now, in chapter 2, when you get here, the relationship between the bridegroom and his bride is escalating, okay? It's getting deeper and more wonderful. They are in the springtime of love. They're in the springtime of love. Look at verse number 11 in chapter 2. Lo, the winter is past. So the rain is over and gone. And so that's behind us. That cold rain is all gone. Look at verse number 12. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. So the flowers are appearing. And the birds are singing. And the doves can be heard. Folks, doesn't that go along with springtime? Sure. So we've heard the last several weeks. Not for many. Thank God winter finally came to an end. But now in the morning you can hear the birds and the flowers are appearing. Look at verse 13. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs. The vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, come away. So the trees and vines are budding and starting to take the process and the process of growing fruit. And it's the springtime of their relationship. It's not only springtime on earth as the bridegroom and is looking at the nature, okay? It's the springtime in their relationship. And the groom is taking his bride away. And in verse number 13, he says, come, my love, my fair one, come away. And he refers to her as his dove in verse number 14. And your voice is sweet and thy countenance is comely. It's really a beautiful, romantic passage. And they're in the springtime of their love here. They're going away together. And as they are leaving and going away together, in verse 15, it's like the groom stops. He's taking in all the scenery around him. Look at the nature, the flowers, the birds are singing, the trees are blossoming and budding and starting to bear fruit. And it's all a picture of his relationship with his bride. And he stops and it's like he speaks to his companions, his helpers, his servants. And he says, take us the foxes. Capture the foxes. Get rid of the foxes. Those little foxes that spoil the vines, that eat the tender grapes. I want you to catch those foxes up. I don't want the vineyard destroyed by these little pesky foxes. And that's what he says. Now, the foxes were abundant in Palestine. You remember that Samson caught 300 of them and tied their tails together and sent them through the standing corn of the Philistines and destroyed their crops. And Tobiah was ridiculing the rebuilding of the wall there in Jerusalem under Nehemiah's leadership. And he tried to discourage the workers by saying, man, if even a fox were to walk on that wall, it would crumble. And a fox doesn't weigh a lot. A fox is a very light animal. Jesus referred to Herod as a fox, using something the people knew much about to characterize the king's deceitfulness. Ezekiel told the people of Israel while they were in captivity in Babylon that their prophets were like foxes in the desert. And Jesus said this, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So foxes were very, very understandable to these people. And you see, friend, not only is it springtime on the calendar here, it is springtime in their relationship. Their relationship is blossoming. Their relationship is budding and beginning to yield signs of fruit. And just like the little foxes could easily spoil the fruit of the vineyard and break the vines and maybe eat the grapes or dig up the roots and destroy it all, so little foxes can spoil and ruin our relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's very, very reasonable for the bridegroom to be concerned about the foxes and his vineyard. The vineyard was blossoming. It was blooming. It was budding and bearing fruit. And it pictured his relationship with the bride, and he wanted no harm to come to it. The truth of the matter is, he wasn't worried about the lions and the tigers and the bears. He was worried about the foxes. He's worried about the foxes. Now let me say two or three things tonight in this message, and we'll wrap it up and head to the house. First of all, I want to talk to you for a few minutes here about the potential. The potential. I want you to look at verse number 13 again. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. I want you to see that the fruit was already beginning to develop and mature. Now people, listen, there is no doubt but that Jesus Christ desires for His relationship with you and me to be fruitful and to be blessed. Jesus does not enter into a relationship with us hoping that we will fail to mature, fail to develop in that relationship. Over and over again, we read scriptures in the Bible that speak of His desire to see us develop, to see us mature, to see us grow, and to see us bear fruit of all kinds. He longs for our relationship with Him to blossom and bud and bloom and bring forth fruit. He desires that for everyone who is a part of His bride. How about John chapter 15, where He speaks of us bearing fruit and more fruit and much fruit and fruit that remains. And then later on in John chapter 16, He talks about how the Spirit of God will guide us into all truth. You know what His will is tonight for you and me, friend? His will is for you and me to mature in our knowledge of this book, to learn this book and to love this book and to live this book and for this book to be everything to us, to be close to our hearts. That's His desire in His relationship with us. And He talks about it in John 16. A little bit later in John 16, He says, "You'll have access to the Father in My name." Oh, thank God. We can go to the Father in the name of His Son, Jesus. And we can pray and we can move the hand of God to work on our behalf. I was so blessed tonight by the singing of that song. Don't ever give up. Just pray. Because friend, you know, I have things that I have faltered in lately in the matter of prayer. I got discouraged and got down about some things. And it didn't seem that God was moving. But you know, God has a different timetable than I have. And God has a different timetable than you have. And God wants us to, you know, one of the reasons maybe He waits to answer our prayer is to keep us coming to Him. Keep us close to Him. He wants that part of our relationship to bloom and blossom and bear fruit, mature and develop. In Romans chapter 12, He tells all of us, you can be transformed and you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, complete will of God, mature will of God. In Hebrews chapter 6, He says, let us go on to perfection. Let us go on to maturity. Let us go on to completion. He's saying, let's develop. Let's grow. Let's let the relationship deepen and bear fruit and bud and blossom and bloom. And let's move on past just being saved. And thank God, we always ought to rejoice that we're saved forever. But let's move on beyond that and not leave it, but let's add to it a depth to the relationship. And that's what God wants. He talks about it in Hebrews 6. In 1 Peter chapter 5, He tells us that His grace will make us perfect. There's that word again, complete, mature, developed. It will establish us, strengthen us, settle us. In Galatians chapter 5, He tells us that the fruit of the Spirit will fill us with love and joy and peace and long-suffering. You say, what are you doing, preacher, with all these Scriptures? I'm trying to point out tonight, Christian, I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't know who the person in here who's been saved the longest. I don't know who the person in here has been saved the shortest amount of time. But you take the shortest one saved and the longest one saved. And I'm simply saying tonight that God desires a mature and complete and deep and blossoming and budding and wonderful relationship with us. Over and over and over again, Jesus expresses His desire, His hope, His plan, His purpose, His will for those of us who belong to Him in our relationship to blossom and bud and bear fruit and develop and mature and go on to completion. Get it out of your head tonight that Christ does not want you to be fruitful in your relationship with Him. He wants every one of us to be fruitful in that relationship. You know, parents, how silly, how immature would it be for a child of yours to suggest that you desired success for all the siblings except for him or her? How silly would that be? Wouldn't that hurt your heart, wouldn't it? For just one of your children to even think or suggest that you'd rather see my sibling develop, my sibling mature, my sibling have success than to see me have some success. There is no parent who has multiple children who doesn't know that their children are all different and all unique. But that parent desires success and joy and blessing and victory and fruitfulness for all of his kids. And so it is with Jesus Christ and those that belong to him. And I want to say tonight that he speaks with words of love to you and me. And he speaks with words of encouragement to you and me. And he speaks with words of tenderness. And he speaks with words of affirmation. Come on! Let's go away. Let's deepen this thing. Let's broaden this thing. Let's make this thing more mature. Let's make this thing more complete. Let's make this thing more perfect. Let's see it blossom and bud and bloom and bear fruit. That's the desire of Jesus Christ for every one of His children. Jesus Christ wants those of us who belong to Him to deepen our relationship. Get it out of your head tonight that you can't have the relationship with Jesus like others have. You know, sometimes you see some who have gone on to a measure of maturity and fruitfulness, and you think to yourself, I can never have that. I could never enjoy that. I want to tell you something, that's a lie of the devil, friend. That's a lie of the devil. That's a dirty lie. That'd be like somebody coming to some child who belongs to some parent and says, you know what, your mom and dad really, really have a lot of good plans and dreams and hopes for your siblings, but they don't care if you succeed or fail. That's cruel. And I want to tell you something. It's wrong to think that God doesn't want your relationship, the Lord Jesus doesn't want your relationship with Him to blossom and bud. He longs for that. He wants that. He speaks words of tenderness. He wants every one of us to come away with Him and let that thing bloom and blossom. Get it out of your mind that you can't have that kind of relationship with Jesus. You're wrong. 10,000 times wrong. You can and you ought to and you need to. I'm telling you, the potential is there. The potential is there. I'm saying for every teenager tonight and every adult, every boy or girl in this room who names the name of Jesus Christ as Savior, He longs for that relationship to deepen and blossom and bud and go on to perfection. That's the potential. Now let me say number two tonight, the problem. Here's the problem. You see it in verse number 15. The problem in the development, the process of maturity, the problem is the little foxes. He said, take us the little foxes. The problem is not the king of the beast, lion. The problem is not the ferocious tiger. The problem is not the big, huge bear. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh no. The problem is the foxes. Little foxes. How often do you see a fox? It's rare, isn't it? They're sneaky. They're nocturnal. They're sly. zipping around through the countryside. Every now and again, a rare sighting will take place. And I don't know if you're like me, but when I see a fox, I get excited. Man, look at that fox. Look at the little kits with it. There's its den. And it's exciting because it's not something you see all the time. Now listen, to be sure, our growth and our development and our maturity can be impeded by big things. There's no doubt about that. But so many times, our development is not impeded by the big things. Our development is impeded by the little things. The little things. I think I can speak with a little bit of experience on this because I talk to tons of people, folks, in the ministry, 24 years at one place and 10 years in another. You talk to a lot of people. And yes, big things once in a while take people out of the race. But more often than not, it's the little stuff. It's the little foxes. Remember, a dead fly is enough to spoil the ointment of the apothecary. A dead fly. How big is that? That's pretty small. That's pretty minute. But that little minute insect, that little fly, spoils the whole ointment of the apothecary. I want you to remember that it was Jesus that said a little leaven, or Paul that said a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. Not much. Just a little leaven. Little sins are parents to greater sins. And it's the little foxes that destroy or impede or hurt or nip away or break down our development in our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the little foxes. It's not the big things near as often as it is the little foxes that are nocturnal and sly. The little foxes. And can I suggest tonight, I'm only going to suggest to you, one little fox. I could speak for a while about a bunch of little foxes, but I may have pegged tonight the one little fox that's more responsible for impeding relationship with Christ than any other. One of those little foxes is nothing more than a lack of commitment to devotions. A lack of commitment to devotions. How little is that? How little is that? People who are groping, drying up in their spirit, weakening in their strength, lacking in energy. They don't want to hear that it has anything to do with lack of devotions. No, 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 Pastor. It has to be some big, huge lion or tiger or bear of a problem that is hindering me in my relationship with Jesus Christ. It has to be. Put your finger on it for me. But then the question is asked. Do you read your Bible? Do you pray? Do you take 15 minutes out of your day to spend a little time with God? That's the question. And the answer comes back, bad, not good. I don't read. I don't pray. Friend, do you realize how literally little the problem is? A lack of devotions, a lack of reading God's Word consistently, a lack of a short time of prayer and talking with God. But I want to tell you, it becomes huge. It becomes huge. And when you don't get in your Bible at all, it grows into a greater problem, a huge problem. It's not the lion. It's not the tiger. It's not the bear. Oh no, it's the little fox. 15 minutes with the Lord. The little fox. 15 minutes with the Lord. Oh, some time ago now, a man came in to see me, and I could tell just by his countenance in the services that it was going south for him, and I could see, you know, and used to be open and used to be receptive and used to be responsive, and I watched the transformation in his countenance, and it just went further and further south and further away from entering into the service here at the church. And finally he came in the office, and there were several issues and complaints, and this is not right, and this is wrong, and this is happening, and all these things. And I mean, it was just a bunch of stuff, and I listened to it all. But then I looked across the table and I said, let me ask you a question, my friend. How's your devotions? And I lied not to you. He dropped his head and he said, I haven't read my Bible in 2 years. 2 years. The little fox. It wasn't a lion. It wasn't a tiger. It wasn't a bear. Oh no. It's a little fox. Just a matter of 15 minutes with the Lord. Listening to Him as He speaks to you through His Word. Speaking back to Him in the opportunity of prayer. Caleb and I were sitting in the office one time. And a good man stopped by the church and he poked his head. The door was open and he poked his head and he said, "Oh, okay, y'all are busy." He said, "I'll come back." And I said, "No, come on in. Look, the door's open. What's up? And come in." And he said, "Well, I just wanted to talk for a minute." I said, "You want Brother Caleb to leave or can he stay?" And he said, "No, he can stay." And we shut the door and he sat down across the desk back there and he just said, "You know, just pray for me." He said, "I'm just struggling right now and I'm frustrated and things are just not going well. And, you know, I've been bothered and frustrated." And he's ripping off all these adjectives and adverbs and different things, you know, about how he's feeling. And in the midst of all this, he said, "I haven't read my Bible in a month and I'm frustrated." And I said, whoa. I wasn't being ugly or cocky. I said, whoa, stop. I think you just identified the problem. It may not be the solution to everything, but a Christian can't get away from his Bible for a month and develop in his relationship with the Lord. You can't do it. It's not a lion. It's not a bear. It's not a tiger. Oh no. It's a little fox. 15 minutes. You say, "Is that all you want?" Well, if you could do more than that, but I'll be honest with you. 15 minutes. We'll probably beat the average if we average it all out. Probably beat it. I'll promise you, a lot of folks spend more than 15 minutes browsing on the computer. I'm not against using the computer for work. I'm saying browsing. Browsing. Go from website to website, killing time. Folks, look, the potential is there. Get it out of your head. The potential is there. Jesus wants to go away with you. I'm not talking about to heaven. Not time for that right now. I'm talking about go away in the relationship. Jesus wants that thing to blossom. Jesus wants that thing to bud. Jesus wants that thing to bloom. Jesus wants that thing to bear fruit. He calls you His dove. He calls us His dove. He calls us His love. He speaks to us with words of tenderness. And I want to walk with You. And I want that thing to... Let's go on to perfection. And let's leave the very foundation of salvation. Don't forget it. But let's not dwell there. Let's move on into a deeper, fuller, more mature, sweeter relationship. Let's be filled with the Spirit. And let the Word of God, let the Spirit guide you into all truth. And get some prayers answered. And let's see this thing grow. He wants that forever. I wish I could convince you of that tonight. I wish I could convince every one of you about that tonight. That is His desire. That is His desire. Not for your daddy, not for your mom only, but for you. As a teenager, as a young person, as a child, and every adult in this room. That's His desire. But friend, it is not the lions and the tigers and the bears that eat away at the roots of that development. It is the little foxes, those sly, nocturnal, little bitty nothing, if you will, a fox there who just nibbles away. And boy, one day turns into two and turns into four and four turns into a week and a week turns into three. And that little fox is just eating away at the very sustenance of the relationship. It's gone. It's a little fox. It's a little fox. Lions and tigers and bears? Oh no. Smaller. In fact, it's not even the poisonous serpent. Oh, we'd like to blame so much on the devil. Yeah, we'd love that. And he is a problem causer. There's no doubt about it. But I want to tell you something, friend. I'll guarantee you that more of our problems are created by the little fox of what I'm talking about tonight than by satanic interference. That's the honest truth. You see the problem. You see the potential. Number three, look at the remedy. Now, I'd like to call this point the pill, because that's a P word. and I would be alliterated with problem, potential problem and pill. But since I'm against pills so much, I have to call it the remedy. But if you like to be alliterated, you can call it the pill, okay? How do you get better? How do you get better? Look at verse 15. Take us the foxes. People, the foxes aren't speaking here. The foxes aren't talking. This is the bridegroom talking. Take us the foxes. Catch the foxes. Take them away. It must not be too horribly difficult if Samson could catch 300. I thought about that the other day. Because I trapped a little bit in Iowa. 300 foxes he caught. It must not be that difficult. Catch the fox. Trap it in a live trap and carry it away. That's what my father-in-law does to the squirrels in his yard. Isn't that right? John catches them in a live trap. And guess what he does with them? He lives on the border of Iowa and Illinois. He takes them across the Mississippi River and turns them loose in Illinois. So if you have trouble with squirrels at your house, you can blame Brother John. Amen. Catch those foxes in a live trap, take them away. Catch those foxes in a spring-loaded foot trap. Used to set those things. Used to set them for raccoon. Used to set them for muskrat. Any of you boys have access to some land somewhere where there's a pond and you buy you a few traps? I'm going to tell you what, fur's gone through the roof. Did last year. We sold those muskrat pelts for $3.50 back in the day when I was trapping. I talked to a trapper out here on out in Bonfield, Eileen, not too far from where you all live. A guy that was buying fur, he was paying $12 for muskrat this winter. $12. And it's fun. Catch them. Used to catch them in those spring traps. Bang. Sometimes it would be so cold, they'd gnaw their foot out to get away. Gnaw their foot right off. They got some sense. Gnaw their foot off. Catch them in a foot trap, then you got to dispose of them. But catch the fox. Catch the fox in a box conibear trap. That's those double spring-loaded things. Whap! They're done. It's over. It's killed instantly. No hassle. Catch the fox. Trap the little pesky fox and take it away. Some of you could trap a fox tonight. Yeah, you could set a trap tonight. You could get that fox in a live trap tonight. You see, you could sit down with your schedule and you could say, you know what? Enough of this. If the Lord Jesus Christ desires for my relationship with Him to blossom and bud and bear fruit and bloom, if He desires for me to go away and leave the very foundations of salvation, if you will, and build on that a mature and complete and a developed Christian life and walk with Him, if that's what the Lord Jesus wants, I want to be a part of that. And to think that I can't enjoy life if I give my heart to Jesus in that way is absolutely insane. Enjoy life. You'll enjoy life 100 times more in a relationship with Christ than without one. You can decide tonight, away with this. If this is the potential that Jesus wants for us, and this problem of this little fox eating away the 15 minutes that I could spend with Him, I'm going to set a time and I'm going to make a schedule and I'm going to carve out 15 minutes for God in consistent daily devotions and get started in it and catch the fox tonight and take it away, kill it, dispose of it, destroy it. You might be surprised how many other foxes will disappear. It might keep the lion away. Might keep the tiger away. It might keep the bear away. Might keep the poisonous serpent away. Just that 15 minutes with God in consistent daily devotions. I'm not suggesting tonight, friend, that devotions is the cure-all for all things that impede our walk with God and our development as a Christian in our relationship with Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you something. The Bible says it is the little foxes that spoil the vine. It is the little foxes that spoil the vines. You've heard it. For want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of a horse, the rider was lost. For want of a rider, the battle was lost. For want of a battle, the kingdom was lost. And all for the want of a horseshoe nail. A little fox. A little fox. 15 minutes of time daily with the Lord. Lions and tigers and bears? Oh no. Just a little fox. Isn't it? Let's pray together. Father, would you help us tonight now, going into summertime? Some schedules change and some structures of schedules change with school being out. I pray, God, you put a hedge of protection around our church family tonight. Lord, help us to determine to spend that time with you. Oh, Jesus, you so want our relationship with you to develop. You so want it to blossom. You so want it to bud. You so want it to bear fruit. Come away, my love. Come away, my dove. Lord, please, let some person in this room tonight hear those words of tenderness. Let some person in this room tonight hear those words of invitation. That there's somebody here, God, who's been harboring thoughts that you don't want them to succeed or they can't develop. Help that to be put away tonight. God, help us to deal with the little fox that's spoiling so many vines. Help us to walk with you, to talk with you. Oh, God, we won't get out of it every day, what we do on some days. But, Lord, that consistent 15 minutes of time, what it would do for us if we spent it with you. Change us. Help us to catch a fox tonight. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Do you need to catch a fox tonight? Is there a little fox on the loose? Pastor, during the message, somewhere along the lines, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? I'll pray for you tonight. God bless you. I appreciate that. Now let me ask this question. Is anybody here tonight that would say, Brother Angel, I'm not even sure that I'm saved. I don't know anything about a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know if it's heaven or hell for me. I don't know if I'm saved or lost. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I don't know what I'm doing in my eternal destiny. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand in the air? Let me pray for you tonight and ask the Lord to speak to your heart and bless you. And I want to encourage you, Christian friend. When I was talking about the potential of the relationship, Jesus desires that for everyone in this room, every child of God. Don't you want to go away with Him? Don't you want to fly away with the Lord? Not to heaven. That'll happen someday. But in your relationship, don't let the little fox of no devotions nibble away and destroy the vine. Don't let pride keep you from coming to an altar and adjusting and dealing with it. Don't let anything interfere with catching that fox tonight. If God spoke to you about it, it may be for your well-being. It's not the lion, the tiger, the bear. It's the little fox. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing the song of invitation. Take time to be holy. Talk with the Lord. Would you come tonight? It's what it is, friend. It's the little fox. It's the little one. Get it out of your mind that God doesn't want you to succeed. Get it out of your mind that God doesn't want you to blossom and bud. Get it out. Put it gone. Would you come?